By way of introduction, let me say that I'm David Levine. I'm the Armin Alchin Professor of Economics at UCLA and an economic researcher specializing in economic theory and in game theory. I'll be reading the abstract and introduction of a recent paper of mine with the late Jack Hirschleifer and Michele Boldrin. The paper is called The Slippery Slope of Concession. First, the abstract. We show that with common knowledge and a common rate of time preference, the potential loser can always avoid wasteful conflict through a time-consistent series of small concessions. We examine how the failure of each of these assumptions may explain why conflicts arise. We also debate which actions may be helpful in such unfortunate circumstances. Now, the introduction. Given that conflict is costly, why does it occur? When both parties believe they are the probable winner, and the winner captures a positive surplus, conflict is the obvious consequence. Should we then observe conflict only when both parties expect to win? Many historical and everyday examples suggest that conflict takes place, more often than not, even when one of the two parties is clearly the expected loser, and the loser himself agrees with his prediction. The occurrence of conflict in this case is less easy to understand. It's not surprising that one party may expect to gain from a conflict, but if both parties agree that one side is likely to win and one to lose, is there not room for the potential loser to make a concession that would avoid the cost of conflict? In other words, why in many circumstances do we fail to observe the expected loser appeasing the expected winner, thereby avoiding conflict and even worse losses? This is the question we pose here, following along the steps of Hirschleifer 2001 and, of course, the Coase theorem. If we can make a deal, why fight? As a practical and unfortunately every day more relevant example, the Israeli-Palestinian fight is a paramount case of a conflict that is impossible to understand and resolve on purely rational grounds. Clearly both parties are losing from the fight, but equally clearly the Palestinian side has lost much more during the last 58 years than the Israeli side. Further, in the foreseeable future, it seems quite unlikely that the Palestinian side would achieve substantial gains through conflict, let alone win the war. Still, neither side seems willing to undertake serious negotiations to avoid the cost of war. This appears irrational, and we may conjecture that the source of irrationality lies in the religious beliefs of the two parties. Obviously, this explanation cannot be denied a priori, and as long as conflict continues, it cannot be disproved. Still, this paper tries to understand why Israeli and Palestinians may keep fighting, even if both are rational actors. Our main clue is that apparently avoidable conflicts become unavoidable when a large indivisibility is at stake and there's no third party at hand that can force an allocation. The idea that conflict is due to indivisibility seems to be well understood in the political science literature concerned with conflict. Notice, though, that true indivisibilities imply conflict until total defeat of one of the two parties, and this is not often seen in reality. Hence, the degree or the size of the indivisibility is relevant. Existing analysis of conflict takes place in a static setting. Here we examine the dynamics of conflict and specifically focus on the problem of time consistency. We investigate the extent to which the potential loser may not be willing to make a concession because the potential winner cannot credibly commit to avoiding a conflict even after the concession has been made. After receiving the concession, the potential winner's position is strengthened and he can demand even more. Recognizing this, the potential loser might choose not to make the initial concession, believing that it will lead to a slippery slope of further demands and further concessions. Commenting on the claim that war is just trade by other means, Jack Hirschleifer wrote, "I don't recommend thinking of it this way. It is true that, on the individual level, people's motives might be just as mean and nasty in trade as in warfare. The crucial point is that exchange and war are different on the social level. There are two main types of differences. First, trade, if we can assume that transactions costs are negligible, conserves social totals of desired goods, whereas warfare reduces them. Even in the absence of actual battle damage, warfare involves an opportunity cost due to diverting resources towards the technology of conflict. Second, trade actually does better than merely conserving social totals, since the redistribution thereof is mutually preferred. Warfare, even if there were not too much in the way of battle damage or even opportunity cost, would still not lead to a mutually desired reshuffling of the social totals." Strikingly, in the baseline case of common beliefs and identical time preferences, if the size of indivisibility is sufficiently small, conflict can always be avoided by a series of small concessions, with both parties recognizing that there will be additional concessions in the future. We provide a rigorous proof of this theorem. Since conflict is, as a means to accommodate opposing interests, the exception rather than the rule, this result should not be too dismaying. We believe, moreover, that there are valid historical examples where conflict was avoided through a series of small concessions, with both parties correctly expecting additional future concessions. One such example appears to be the extension of the voting franchise in England during the 17th to 20th centuries. This took place in gradual increments, and there appears to be explicit recognition that current concessions would lead also to future concessions. Another is the way in which the Spanish constitutional system has handled the Catalonia and Basque request for progressively more autonomy between 1978 and today. A sequence of small concessions that both parties knew and know will continue in the indefinite future has avoided overt conflict. ETA's terrorist activity is, in this sense, the proof that the process is working. Because ETA has different beliefs from either the Spanish or the Basque mainstream politicians, it clearly believes that conflict would favor the Basque independence cause, and it understands that derailing the small concession process is crucial to force the parties into open conflict. Taking as the starting point a set of assumptions under which conflict can be avoided, we are led then to ask what changes in the assumptions may account for the inevitability of conflict in other circumstances. We identify two major possibilities. First, differing rates of time preference. If the potential winner is much more patient than the loser, he must receive a large concession immediately to avoid conflict. This runs immediately into the time consistency problem. A large concession will lead to a demand for another large concession, and while the patient loser may be willing to make a series of small concessions, he will not wish to make a series of large concessions. Two, indivisibilities. Indivisibilities may lead to conflict for several reasons. If there's a fixed cost for making a concession, then a series of small concessions will be very costly. Constantly haggling over small transfers may be worse than simply fighting it out once and for all. Alternatively, there may be indivisibilities in the resources that are under dispute. For example, there may be natural boundaries or ethnic mixing or other physical or social features that make division of a particular region costly. Kosovo might be seen as such an example. Forcing the two disputing parties to live side by side appeared to be extremely costly. With these types of indivisibilities, a series of small concessions is unfeasible. Randomization is often thought as the natural economic solution to the presence of indivisibilities. It is also possible to take turns using the indivisible disputed resource. However, both of these solutions run into a time consistency problem. The party who is advantaged has little incentive to give up the disputed resource when it is their turn to do so. For a copy of the paper, please visit www.dklevine.com.